This is Lead and Believe.
Oh, I believe, Benny, but can you help me lead?
This is a podcast for leaders who want to build a world-class culture.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm Brad Gustafson.
And I'm Ben Gilpin.
Here we are, Gustafson. Part two, right? Part two. What do you got for me, my man?
So excited to continue. So last time we were talking hidden interview gems and the things leaders might miss. And we polished up a couple gems. I feel like I had a few. You might have had a little gem in there too. Just kidding. You were crushing it. But today I'm really excited, Ben, to unearth, to lean into, to reveal what are the things leaders might miss in the interview process. Sound good?
It does. So I know last week we focused on some of those more of the good things. Now this week, a little bit of what we could miss, what maybe the blind spots. Yep. And I think that that's very relevant because most leaders have conducted interviews before, and it's impossible. Well, I shouldn't say impossible. It's very unlikely that you're going to learn every single piece of information that you want to learn, which means you may miss something.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And another way to look at it might be other people have gems that you and I are not aware of. So we might miss them, but they might swear by them and just not even believe that we don't know about them. So today, I mean, there might even be a couple of things we say, you might miss this, but you might, you know, there are people who are listening who might be nailing it. But I think in general, at least the few of the things that I was hoping to kind of lean into, I do think absent intention and maybe even training in this, they are things that probably get missed a decent amount of time.
I agree. I think the other part that is important for people to kind of digest is probably now more than any other time, people have more tools to prepare for an interview. And so the reason that that's something to be aware of is that when we're looking to try to have authentic, genuine answers from people that are that we're talking to, potentially looking to hire, knowing the difference between what is authentic and genuine and what is sometimes even a bit scripted.
Yeah, I'll start there. And that kind of the connection that I have, things that I've missed historically, Ben, specifically along those lines, the way that I was trained, and maybe it was through osmosis where I feel like I read it somewhere. But anyway, it was always to ask questions that get at people's demonstrated behaviors in the past, because the theory or the philosophy is that I don't want to hear what you think or what you're going to do or what you wish you'll do after you're on the team. Like, how have you lived out that belief and where have you demonstrated that in the past? Do you know what I mean?
I do. So let me push into that though.
Yep.
Let's just say you are interviewing an individual and one of them has 10 to 15 years of experience. Possibly, you know, something has happened. Maybe they stepped away to be with kids or whatever it happens to be. Who knows what reason, but they have experience. They come with experience versus the other person that potentially is right out of college in some fashion. What I've learned over the years is those stories, those experiences are vastly different. How do you piece through and understand and take in?
Right. How do you share what you've demonstrated when you haven't even had a chance to demonstrate it? Kind of, sort of. Right.
The newbie. Yeah, the green one.
That's a really great question, Ben. When I coach people on interviewing, just really quick, it's be honest and accurate, first and foremost. And then also, though, don't apologize for what you haven't done yet because you haven't had the shot yet. Frame your strengths as they align to what an organization is looking for. So what that might look like for a person, you know, just coming out of college or applying for a dream job that they just haven't had before, it would be thinking about where in their life have they had a chance to actually demonstrate that skill set or that manner of thinking. And sometimes it's maybe even outside the professional world. It might be with family or volunteering, but a lot of times those things can be talked about in a way you've already done them within the responsibilities you had. Because most people do have some responsibilities that they've had a chance to influence and lead in some way, even if it's not the exact position they're applying for.
Yep, I'm right there with you. How about, let's take it a step further, because the interview process feels much more in the wheelhouse of an extrovert in comparison to an introvert. How do you pull out some of those things from an introvert? Because we know that on teams, we need variety.
Yep. Thanks for asking that, Ben. And this actually connects to where I was going on the things we might miss with what I shared as far as me personally as an interviewer, simply trying to unearth people's proven experiences, like things they've actually done. The blind spot I had is that was a focus on how they worked and what they did. What I missed, Ben, was who they wanted to be. I underemphasized learning about that. So to answer your question more directly, if someone's more introverted, I would encourage them to make sure that they anchor their interview in conveying at some point, and hopefully throughout the whole interview, who they want to be. Does that make sense? Because you can say that in very few words if that's kind of your thing. Although in an interview, you probably, I would assume, have to stretch yourself a little bit and talk a decent amount of time. But just make the words, this is one, maybe this is a stereotype, but when I think of introverts, and I am a closet introvert, people don't really think of me as one, but I am. Make your words count. Make the few words, and this I need to get better at, but really great introverts, I feel like the few things they say are so profound and have me wanting to learn more and just appreciating their presence. I wonder if that could translate in an interview too, where someone is sharing, you know, in response to a question, they kind of say, you know, here's who I want to be in that situation. I haven't encountered that before, but I'm anchored to who I want to be, and here's who I want to be. So here's how I think I would handle it.
Okay. So now let's go big picture though. Okay. I love where we're going with all this. Let's go big picture though. As leaders, there's a vision. There's a picture that we have, all leaders have, in how we want the organization, the school, the whatever it happens to be, how we want that to flow, how we want that to be a fine-tuned machine. As a person sitting on a hiring committee, how do you interview, how do you go through the hiring process and you say, they fit the vision, they fit the mission? That's when I think big picture, they fit the mold. How do you go about doing that?
Okay. Tell me the degree to which this answers your question, because I know it's addressing it, but it might not exactly answer it. One of the ways, and this was actually going to be one of the things I was hoping to cover, one of the things I've missed is making sure that you ask questions that cultivate or leave the door open for a variety of answers, for diverse answers. For example, if you ask a question like, what matters most in to you as an employee or whatever, and if half the people say communication and then half the people say relationships, okay, I can subscribe to that. Thank you. That makes sense. I agree with that. But that doesn't really differentiate between the two people. So therefore, how am I going to be able to make an assessment of potential fit, like what you're getting at, if everyone is basically saying the same thing? So the questions we ask as leaders in these interview situations and committees have to be structured in a way, even if it's the follow-up question, where we allow people to open up enough and go deep enough so that we can see what is the what does it look like to build a relationship to you? What does that not look like? What does that feel like? What does that sound like?
Yep. I'm right there. Again, I no disagreement out of me. I want to add to it. Looking for the individual that I feel is relational, that I feel as though is a problem solver. But then here's the caveat for me. I love having people on the team with the willingness to step out of a comfort zone, to try new things, to embrace.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Ben? People on on your whole staff or on the hiring committee?
I mean, ultimately the whole staff. I would love to have a staff full of people that are willing, that have enough self-confidence and enough belief that they're willing to step out of their own comfort zone. Because I think oftentimes, especially if we zero in and we talk about education, oftentimes as educators, we are asking our students to step out of their comfort zone. I also want the facilitators, the educators, to be willing to step out of their comfort zone. So practice what you preach.
So then to put you on the spot, because this is the dilemma I think a lot of hiring administrators, ourselves included, maybe come up against is, then what questions do you ask to get at that look for? Because I heard you identify a clear look for. I'm looking for someone who's willing to step out of their comfort zone, but then probably the attributes of the answer that someone answers, there should be additional look fors. Like, here's how we know if they're that person. But anyway, the overarching question is, what would you ask to begin to get at that?
I think there's a variety of different types of questions. You could kind of dig in on a question. Share a time that you learned a skill you knew nothing about. Talk about that process. You could talk about, describe a time where a plan didn't go the way you wanted to. What were your next steps? I think a third type of a question could be, has there ever been a time where your opinion or your thought process was changed in some way, shape, or form? Describe that. Those to me, because ultimately what I'm trying to get to, what I'm hoping that the committee is trying to get to, is a growth mindset, someone that is that I want to see the thought process on what happens when you encounter a barrier. And the other piece is the willingness to continue to step out of that comfort zone.
I would regret if I didn't share this, Ben. You and I have both known Jimmy Casas for quite a few years. And he and I were recently talking. He did a hiring workshop where he has a lot of expertise in this. And he and I were talking offline. And the way that he talks about making sure your organizational purpose is in alignment and that there's great intention really with everything in the interview process, but also with the questions you're asking and the look fors, it's really clear and compelling after you talk to him. So I think the reason I wanted to throw that out, not just for conversation, but just if people haven't connected with Jimmy on social media, he does a really nice job sharing some of this and just offering, you know, small insights, but also some deeper opportunities too. Jimmy, you know what? I just realized before you go, before you lay into me here, I should do a disclaimer. Jimmy is also my publisher. I'm not saying this because he's my publisher, but I should do the disclaimer thing, right? Is that?
But are you trying to tell me that I need to go to one of his workshops?
You need one of his workshops. That is what I was getting at. I'm glad that you picked up on that.
I think that's where you're going with that.
But I think the takeaway, I think what I really appreciated when I was talking to him last was, it's not just about generating great questions. It's really backing up a step with intention and being clear about what is the purpose of, you know, what's the job description you're filling? What's the core purpose? Who do you want to be as an organization? And then developing questions that actually directly flow into that. I was just impressed by that insight. And it sounds so obvious, but I don't know, like when a lot of leaders are generating questions, that's not always a skill. That is something I think that we miss, to stick with the theme of the show.
I agree. But, you know, and Jimmy's got a great podcast too, The Interview Chair, which if you've never listened to that podcast, great one to check out. Quick little plug for a different podcast, but let me ask you this though. Let's get to that interview chair. So my question for you, my friend, is oftentimes, and I've heard this said before, oftentimes you see the person giving their very best effort in the quote unquote interview chair. And my question for you as a leader, how much do you keep track of those answers and that experience? And then over time, a year to 5 years, do you ever bring back up that interview? Do you ever have a conversation about, hey, you know what? Years ago, we had this interview and I remember this from your interview. Do you ever do that?
Yes, I do, but not with any systemic consistency. Like I can picture, and this is actually the danger I think of some interviews is, don't you think that almost every human being has at least one good example or a story on different topics? Because if you ask me a question about, tell me about a time where you circled back to someone you interviewed, you know, I could answer that, but I'm trying to be authentic here and share that is not something I do all the time. Do you get what I'm saying? But there's a parallel, I think, to the interview experience where leaders might miss that the answer that they're getting, like, might not reflect the day-to-day work of someone. It might be kind of an outlier of an answer.
Yep. No, I get that. I, you know, and truth be told, over the years, I have brought back up interview questions with people after they've gotten the job. And I have said years later, hey, I what you said in the interview has always stuck with me. And I bring that back up because I think it's twofold. One, it tells that person that it really did make an impact. And I think number two, it brings back something to the surface because ultimately as leaders, I know for myself specifically, I want people to really be remembering and focusing on that why. And I know if that matters to them and I can bring back something that maybe hits a trigger, not in a negative way, in a positive way, that can ultimately, again, I can help them be that very best version of themselves.
If you had to pick, in closing is kind of the right way to say this, Benny, but if there was a theme or a big thing that, or maybe it's a tiny thing that's important, but what's kind of your main takeaway advice for people to think about if they're looking to really avoid missing things? That felt like one of my most unclear questions I've ever asked. Do you need me to interpret that?
I've got you. I know where you're going with this. Well, here's what I would say to leaders out there. You're going to miss something. You're not going to be perfect. You are going to miss something. I really would say in closing in this two-part series, as leaders, reflecting on the process, and Brad has said this very well, making sure it aligns with your vision, with your mission, and what are the goals you have for the organization, but also reflecting on that entire process, what went well, what didn't go well, what could you do? I think that those are the critical pieces that leaders need to do after the process is over. Good reflection, deep reflection that continues to have you growing as well. What about you, Brad? What do you got?
Yeah, mine's a twofer, but they're really related. One, another hat tip to Jimmy Casas, and he'll remind people that even inevitably we have to say no to some people who interview, but I think we really want those people to feel so respected and have their experience go so well that they just authentically want to share good things about the experience and maybe try again and keep applying just because of, you know, how we showed up and how we structured things and that. But then the converse, the related cousin to that, I've always believed that part of an interview, there's an opportunity to also cultivate or build culture on your internal team. So for example, one of the questions you might ask it's a teaching question I call them, and I've written a little bit about this, but it's, you do a tiny bit of teaching and just say, you know, in our school, we believe in blank. Can you tell me about a time blank? And that's kind of sometimes my way of just reminding everyone in the room who we are and who we want to be so that the vision doesn't bleed and it's not just something we talk about once a year, but in many different situations, we're hearing and reminding ourselves who we want to be and not just the candidate. So those are maybe two little related nuances that I would put out there as other things people might miss.
Brad, what I would say, and I love this, I love that you brought this up, you're very intentional. And I think that would be a great spot to let people know. When you go into the interview process, be intentional. What we say as leaders matters. It matters what we say to our hiring team, and it matters what we say to our candidates. So being intentional is a great way to end this one. I enjoy this two-part series. Looking forward to our guests next time. But I know people, the process, the interviewing, the hiring process, I feel like is now always ongoing. And so I feel like this is always relevant because people should always be thinking about who's my next hire, what's that look like, and what is the core foundation of our organization?
Yep, well said. I've had some people reach out kind of offline or direct message with questions about the show or kind of connections. So just as a reminder, everyone's also invited to direct message Ben, or you could go to our public-facing hashtag on several different channels, Lead and Believe. We would love to hear your voice and your perspective and things that that you've just learned about the hiring process that you think might help others.
Sounds great. That's awesome. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Awesome, buddy. Take care.
Creating a world-class culture requires intention and optimism.
That's right. Often it's the small steps a leader takes that matter most.
We hope today's conversation helps you move hearts and mountains as you lead and
believe.